Almighty God, may you inspire us through your word. For the Bible says that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding even to the simple. May we not just be speakers and hearers of your word, but may we also be doers of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How does it feel to come to service every Sunday in the past couple of weeks, and the second lesson remains the same? And the second lesson is not just an unfamiliar passage, but it is a passage that many of us, right from Sunday school, have been able to say offhand. I hope that in the past few weeks, that the Lord has been speaking something or leaving us with some words, maybe things to think about as we journey into the future. Today, we'll be looking at the phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." Nations of the world are experiencing what is believed to be the most violent period in human history. Terrorism is on the rise with an almost fivefold increase in fatalities since 9/11, in spite of US and its allies' led efforts to combat it in the Middle East and elsewhere around the world. The 2015 Global Terrorism Index shows that terrorism is spreading across many countries, with over 32,000 people killed in terrorist attacks in 2014. As if this is not enough, after enduring years of conflict and with little hope of peace, we find refugees making the exhausting and often dangerous journey in search of safety. And many of us are very comfortable with this discourse, especially within the European context. Additionally, a global report on trafficking in persons launched by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes provides new information on the sexual exploitation as the most common form of human trafficking. In fact, that index shows that it's about 79%. The victims of sexual exploitation are predominantly women and girls. This study was conducted in about 150 countries, and the people who conducted the studies realized that in a good number of the countries, they found cases where women were trafficking women. And that is, for us, a challenge, especially because we are still very fresh in the celebration of Women's Week. Again, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization estimates that about 795 million people of the 7.3 billion people in the world, or 1 in 9, were suffering from chronic undernourishment. And this statistic covers the period of 2014 and 2016. This is certainly something to think about in relation to our lives, in relation to our world, in relation to what God is doing in the world today. If only the will of God were done on earth as it is done in heaven, there will be peace among and within nations, and love and happiness in our homes, and the widespread cases of hatred, lust, and greed, not to mention murder, war, terrorism, suicide, human trafficking, hunger, and poverty will not be as prevalent as they are today in our world. The phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," wraps up the first section of the Lord's Prayer. In the first part, heaven is given as the place where God is. Our Father who art in heaven. And now with the second and last mention of heaven in the prayer, heaven is specified as the place where God's will is done. Whenever we pray this line of the prayer, we are asking that the earth become a place where God's will is done, a place that is like heaven. Some people look at the will of God as the iron-fisted rule of an overbearing dictator. And for such persons, God is strong, and God is too strong to resist. So they give in to him with a resentful attitude. We should rather know that the will of God is the will of a father, a loving and a caring father. It is not the will of our father that one of these little ones should perish. We'll find that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. Others see the will of God as being inevitable, so they simply submit, not out of faith, love, or joy, but out of resignation. We see this example in the early church as we read in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 12, where prayers were said for Peter to be released from prison on the eve of his execution. Yet it appears apparent that they did not believe he would be released. They assumed he was a dead man, even as they prayed for him to be set free. For some, they say, "Your will be done," and this they say in love and trust, willingly and gladly, no matter what that will may be. According to the scriptures, the will of God is done when he executes the secret counsels of his providence. Although we can find some men and women who may attempt to oppose him, nonetheless, the Lord's Prayer invites us to pray that his will may be done, that all creatures may obey him without opposition and without reluctance. This appears more clearly when we compare it as recorded in our second lesson, as it is in heaven. In Psalm number 103, verse 20, it reads, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word." Yes, our God is sovereign. He is in absolute control of his creation. But he does invite us, his children, to pray about things in life. When we pray, we are not doing so to impose our wills on God. We rather pray in order that God's will might be accomplished on earth and where it is possible through us. "Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven" brings into sharp focus that God is the chief concern of this prayer and not us. The prayer is all about him. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. Prayer, according to John Calvin, is a covenantal work in which we pray for that which God has promised. That is why it is never wrong or an expression of unbelief or a sign of weakness to add to our prayer, "If it be your will." On a personal level, this prayer or this part of the prayer implies, "Father, please cause me to obey your will the way the angels obey it in heaven." On a worldwide level, we desire that all people may have their will formed to such harmony with the righteousness of God that they may freely bend to God's direction. The prayer implies that God may remove all the unceasing rebellions against him and that all people may not desire anything but what pleases him and meets his praise. In our second reading, Prophet Isaiah shows that to seek the Lord means to come to call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Many people feel that they cannot pray. They feel that it takes a lot of Bible knowledge or training to know how to say things just right. And that it takes a certain way with words so you don't sound too casual. And so prayer is seen as scary. So the word prayer throws up all kinds of obstacles for some people. Well, we can see in Isaiah, where we read, that the word there is very simple. It says call. And call is part of our everyday language. When we go to the restaurant, we call the waiter. We call a friend on telephone or family members. We call for help. And we call 911. This therefore means that we can all pray. He says, call upon me. To seek the Lord means to forsake wicked ways and unrighteous thoughts. In verse 7 of our first reading. We should seek the Lord because until we do, our ways and his ways and our thoughts and his thoughts are as far apart as the heaven and earth. Only when we seek the Lord can we begin to have the mind of Christ and discern his will. As such, when we pray that the earth may become obedient to the will of God, it is a declaration of fact that we hate and regret whatever we perceive to be contrary to the will of God. Beloved people of God, we should take with increasing seriousness the 5 or 10 minutes of intercession in which, as a congregation, as we do today, we bow down before God and bring to him the world and its leaders, and cry to him to intervene. And the same is true in our prayer gatherings. We give thanks to God that in St. John's we have opportunities for prayers. This Tuesday by 7 p.m., is it 7 p.m.? 7:45 p.m., we'll be gathering in the upper room for prayers. And it's a prayer that we've already had amongst us. Prayer for the parish grouping. And we need prayers now more than ever. And so I invite you to be part of that prayer on Tuesday by 7:45 at the upper room. There are other opportunities for prayers in our house groups, during the Bible studies, and different opportunities at home and in other places. We should take seriously the place of prayer. We should share the global concerns of our God, because God is not just an instantaneous creator, but he's a creator who is constantly involved in nourishing his creation. And he invites us to partner with him. He can do without us, but he chooses at all times to use us. We should express these concerns in our prayers. We are not called to solve all human problems. Perhaps we might consider our age, our health conditions, our family backgrounds, and perhaps some of these could serve as excuses. God is not calling us to solve all human problems. But we can tackle at least one problem to the best of our abilities. For example, we can get involved in a cause that touches us most deeply: world hunger, local homelessness, juvenile drug abuse, children at risk, the pain of bereavement, the loneliness of the elderly in nursing homes, to mention but a few. There are many opportunities to be involved. Whatever our gifts, great or small, regardless of our age, physical condition, or economic status, we can make a difference. We can change the world a little and help bring the kingdom a bit closer to reality. Amen.